This has been a sort of an interesting time for me because I seem to be focused on the book of Revelation. I mean, we have the book of Revelation in Sunday school. Then when I come to the end of the year, both with the juniors and seniors at Horizon, I talk about the things to come. So I'm focused in the book of Revelation on that. And on Tuesday, we've been focused on the things to come. And I'm just focused on the things to come. It's like the Lord is saying, hey, you need to think about this. And I must say the book of Revelation is really a wonderful book. It is full of mystery in one sense, because it's speaking of the things to come, but it's full of truth too, and it's meant to be studied. Throughout church history, there has not been a great focus on the book of Revelation. Some of the great reformers said this book is too wonderful for me. If it's too wonderful for them, it would be too wonderful for us. But if God has given us the book of Revelation, he's given it for a purpose. And he's given it for us to study. So with all of our limitations, we study to know the significance and meaning of this book. And what I have said to you, which I think is true, is the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ in judgment. And let me emphasize that in a different way. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Now remember, John is describing what he is seeing in this vision. But also remember that John knows Jesus. John walked with Jesus for 3 years. And then it is John, after the resurrection, when they were fishing in the boat, it is John who looked at the shore and saw someone there cooking breakfast for them, and he said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And they all rushed to the Lord because they rejoiced to see him and they rejoiced to have fellowship with him. It was a wonderful, wonderful time for Peter, especially when he was sort of recommissioned to be one of the apostles going forth with the gospel message. But contrast that to what John sees in Revelation chapter 1. I mean, what I'll say to you, in the revelation of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 is, this is a great theological word, it's scary. It's kind of scary. I mean, here's John in Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 10. He says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, 'I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, to Philadelphia and Laodicea.' Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. And his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, like the sun shining in strength. And when I saw him, I said, 'Well, it's Jesus.'" No, that's not what the text says. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." That's not what happened when he was in the boat. He said, "That's Jesus." And they all got to Jesus as quickly as they could to have breakfast that the Lord had prepared for them. That's not what's happening here. He sees this image and he falls as one who is as dead. "But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So then he goes to the seven churches, and these messages to the seven churches, again, don't read like the beginning of the epistles. Usually at the beginning of the epistles, God will say, it's a wonderful thing that God has saved you. We're so thankful for the salvation they have. Even into the Corinthian church, truly you are sanctified. You will be sanctified before God. And the great blessing that God has come upon you, and he greets them, may grace and peace be upon you from the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's a wonderful greeting that you have at the very beginning. This is a fearful kind of thing. And when he comes to the churches, he judges them. I mean, if you look at the first church, I'm just going to go through the six churches just real quickly. The first church, he says, I have this against you. You've lost your first love, but I have this against you. Second church, he says, you're going to have tribulation for 10 days. Third church, I have this against you in verse 14. In verse 20, for the fourth church, he says, I have this against you. And he brings out things that they are doing that are inappropriate and wrong. And he says, you need to stop. You need to overcome. The fifth church he comes to and says, you're dead. It's a nice greeting. You are dead. To the sixth church, he says, and this is, if you want to be in one of these churches, be in Philadelphia. Because he says you have an open door that no one can close. Comes to the last church and he says, you are lukewarm, I'd like to spew you out of my mouth. These are not happy greetings. These are, you say, words of discernment. You can say words of the Lord warning, words of judgment. And then you come to the tribulation, you have seven seals and seven trumpets and seven bowls, all of judgment. Judgment upon the world. And you come to the millennial kingdom, and if you want to find about the blessings of the millennial kingdom, don't read Revelation 20. Revelation 20 talks about how Satan is bound, and then it speaks of the martyrs who have been killed, they come to life. And then speaks of Satan's release and a battle that takes place. And you come to the new heavens and new earth. In Sunday school this morning, one of the things that you should observe about that is that this is the new heavens and new earth. You would think it would say, let me tell you about the new heavens. And he does part of this. He talked about the new Jerusalem come down. You see the wonders of the things that are taking place. There's so many things you could say about the new heavens and new earth. But for the most part, it's a lot of warning. And even in that part, there's warning. You don't want to miss this. You don't want to be judged. I mean, it talks about sinners when it's talking about the new heavens and new earth and the ones who are sinners, and it talks about the sinners that are not going to be there. I'm just saying, when the book of Revelation, it's the Lord, the revelation of Jesus Christ in judgment. And clearly what that means is you need to come to Christ. The fear of judgment will never bring anyone to Christ. It is the love of God that brings, and the love of God revealed in Scripture for you that brings you to the Lord Jesus Christ. But clearly the message is come to Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Believe that he's the Son of God. Believe that he died on the cross to save you from your sins. And you come to him. You're really drawn to him by God. You come to him and he saves you. Because you don't want to enter into this judgment. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't want to be under the wrath and judgment of God, but it's an even more wonderful thing to say, I've been under the wrath and judgment of God, because that happened at the cross. And there's where God took my wrath, the wrath of God for me, a sinner, worthy of judgment. And God imputed my sin to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for me, to save me. The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ for my sins till there is no more, until I am fully forgiven, and then clothes me in his righteousness, will someday clothe me in his holiness, will one day clothe me in his glory. All of that is what he secured at the cross. Come to Christ. That's the message. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Wonderful truth. But the emphasis of the book of Revelation, you come to the last book in the Bible, you'd think this whole last book of the Bible would be all about happy things. It's not about happy things. This is about the wrath and judgment of God upon the earth. So we've been talking about these judgments. And let me just say, you know, what I'm doing is a little bit confusing. I'm not trying to be confusing, but what I'm doing is I'm just talking about the parts. The parts. So I'm going to tell you about there's seven bowl judgments, seven seal judgments, then seven trumpet judgments, and seven bowl judgments. That's really, when I look back, and in fact, when you look what's up there, that's what the tribulation period of time is like. It's judgment. It's God pouring out his wrath upon the earth because the earth has turned its back upon God, the whole of the earth, and said, we don't want God. We don't want salvation. We just want to be in control of this world ourselves. And God comes and he says, this is my world. I created this world. I sent Jesus Christ to die for the sinners in this world, and I'm sending Jesus as the king of this world. This world is under judgment because it's rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm just giving these judgments. And if you look at that, it looks like, oh, there's one, two, three. I've said before, I think that those judgments appear in those time periods that are represented there. The first half is really the Antichrist with these seals establishing his kingdom. The second part is where the fury of God really pours out in his wrath and judgment of sin and the wickedness of mankind. The sixth judgment of the sixth seal is sort of in the middle, where things turn from the Antichrist establishing his kingdom to the judgment of God upon the earth. But I want to talk about the trumpets and the bowls if I can this evening. But this is when these are judgments. And then I want, when we get this, then I'm going to talk about what we speak of as the seven interludes. The book of Revelation is really easy to outline. It's difficult to understand, but it's easy to outline. And while it's talking about these judgments, there's other things going on in this tribulation period. So periodically, there's seven times when it stops and says, oh, wait, I need to tell you how this whole thing begins. I need to tell you about the two witnesses. I need to talk to you about the little book. I want to talk about the measurements here. I want to talk about the woman that rides the beast, the harlot that rides the beast, and the destruction of false religion, and then the destruction of the kingdoms of this world. I want to tell you about other things that are also taking place during this period of time. And it isn't like you go through several judgments and then boom, something happens. This is all taking place at the same time, and that's how it's to be understood. So it is about judgment. There's a part of it that's about salvation in this period of time. But the main focus is on the judgment. Those who are saved will pretty much be martyred. Martyrdom is going on in our world today. It's going on throughout all of church history. But it's going to be a spectacular thing during the tribulation, because the Holy Spirit is going to be withdrawn as a restraining influence to evil. And so Satan and the false prophet and the Antichrist, who are released at the middle of the tribulation, are going to be able to find the people that are Christians and kill them. That's how Satan deals with false, what he considers to be false religion, true Christianity. So let me go through these. We talked about the seven seal judgments. Let me go through these seven trumpet judgments. What happens on the seventh seal, and again, just to review just a little bit, it begins, and we'll look at the first interlude, where Jesus is the only one worthy to open the scroll of judgment. This is a huge scroll of judgment. It's the judgment of the world. And the seal judgments, one by one, are taken off while the Antichrist is pursuing his anti-kingdom and establishing this one world rule of the Antichrist and Satan and the false prophet. When this is being established, each one of these seals that holds the scroll together from being opened, each one is broken, and the four horsemen appear in the first four, and these are horsemen of the Antichrist. This is what he is doing in establishing his kingdom. The fifth is the martyrdom of the saints. The sixth is when it turns to the world. But these are breaking these seals, and when the seventh seal is broken, the judgment is opened. And when the judgment is opened, the way in which it's represented is seven angels appear with seven trumpets. So he said, this judgment is being opened. Instead of just saying, well, we're going to read the judgment, and we're going to read it from start to finish, we're going to read the whole scroll, it's these seven angels appear, and they have seven blasts of the trumpet. When the seventh trumpet sounds, then in a time, the eight bowls appear. Eight angels appear with eight bowls. So the seventh trumpet really is introducing these eight bowls that come upon the earth. And I'm going to click back and forth, because you'll notice up here it says the earth, the sea, the rivers and springs, the sun, Abaddon, and Apollyon, and Euphrates, and loud voices. If you look at the seven trumpets, and let me just quickly look at the seven, you'll find those same things being addressed. The earth, the sea, the rivers and springs, the sun, the throne of the beast, Euphrates, the loud voice. Same kinds of things. It's as if it's doubling down on this judgment. And let me read part of this. I think it's important to see this. And before I read it, I want to remind you of what Jesus Christ said. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is talking about this tribulation period. What's going to take place? He says, I'll tell you what you can look for with reference to this tribulation period. Look for the abomination of desolation, which Daniel says happens in the middle of the week. The abomination of desolation appears and takes his seat in the temple and declares himself to be God. When that happens, he says, get out of Jerusalem. So this is particularly written with reference to the Jews. And he says, don't turn around, don't come back, don't do anything. But when that happens, get out, because the judgment is really going to come, and they're to run into the wilderness where the Lord will hide them. Those who listen to him, and this will be believers at that time, but Jewish believers, but those who believe the witness, they'll get out. They will flee. And then Jesus says this, when the abomination of desolation takes his seat in the temple and declares himself to be God, and you can worship only him. That's why he kills false religion. He'll kill the woman who rides the beast. And he will turn on the Jews and say, you can no longer worship God in any way, shape, or form. You are to worship me. I am the only one to be worshiped. That's his stand. And it says this, for then, when the abomination takes his stand, there will be great tribulation. It will be the trumpets and the bowls. There will be great tribulation. And notice how Jesus describes this. Such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. Nothing compares to this. Nothing compares to what happens after the Antichrist takes his stand in the middle of the tribulation and declares himself to be God. You can only worship him. At that point, this is going to take place. And this is like nothing has ever happened before and never will happen again. This is totally unique. That's one of the reasons why I don't think that the tribulation period is happening during the church age. If it was happening during the church age, then when it comes along, the abomination takes his stand, it would already have happened. Because immediately after the abomination takes his stand, you have this period of time of tribulation and Jesus Christ comes. So the abomination of desolation and the coming of Jesus Christ are tied together. So this is a time of great judgment, like the world has never seen before. So that's one of the reasons why I don't spiritualize this and just say, well, these are just difficulties. Let me go back to the trumpets. But I don't spiritualize these and just say, well, these are difficult times. This is the points to the Black Death, or this points to World War II, or this points to, you know, I don't do that with Reese because of what Jesus said. It's future. And so here we are describing these things. And if you just take it for what it says, these are awful. So let me read this to you. Turn in your Bibles to, if you want to read it with me. You come to chapter 8, and it says, "When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up." So this is like an inferno. This is the fire and great destruction. A third of the trees were burned, a third, and all the green grass. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then a third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe." I say in the Bible, you never want anybody looking at you in the Bible saying woe once, let alone three times. "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpets of the three angels who are about to sound." Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like a smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened because of smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing. The grass can grow back in a 7-year period of time, but the grass that burned was now there again, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. In order to know that, you need to know about the sealing of the 144,000, which is previously described. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. And the shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle, and on its heads were crowns and something like gold, and their face were like the faces of men, their hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of the wings was like the sound of chariots and many horses running in battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and the power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, is destruction. With the Greek, he has the name Apollyon, which again is destroy or destruction. One woe is past. Two more are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying, the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound. These are probably fallen angels that are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and those who sat on them, and breastplates of fury, red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For the power in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads with them, and they do harm. But the rest of mankind who are not killed by these plagues do not repent of the works and their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. You read this, and then you go to chapter 11 and verse 14. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming. Then the seventh angel sounded. There was loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the day of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. Now you look at this and you say, well, here, as you look up here and you can see the same thing, I've just written it in cryptic form. But these are the judgments that are taking place upon the earth. And you look at this and you say, even if you just... There's much in all of this that I don't really understand. I don't understand this torment for months and these stinging beasts or locusts that come out and sting people. I don't understand it. I don't want to be there. I don't want to see it. But none of this sounds like fun to me. Let me just put it that way. And all of this sounds like great destruction. And I've never seen anything like this on the earth. I mean, I've never seen the opening to hell opened up and these hellish creatures coming forth. You say, well, can that happen? I say, it will happen. And I look at this and I say, is there any reason why I want to look at this and just sort of say, well, this is just things that have happened in the world up to now? And I say, well, not according to Jesus and not according to this. I mean, you're having the destruction of on the earth. And Jesus says in his statement, if the day was this judgment was not shortened, no one would survive. There wouldn't be any living being on the earth. That's what he said after saying this is going to be such a time as not been seen since the beginning of the world until that time, nor ever shall be. And unless it was shortened, no flesh shall survive. But for the sake of the elect, it will be shortened. So I look at this and I say, I don't understand a great mountain burning and thrown into the sea and the sea becomes blood and a third of it is destroyed. Or a great star from heaven and the rivers and the springs are turned bitter wormwood and a third of them and many die. A third of the sun, the moon, and the stars are smitten. And look at this, and it just say, I can tell you, I can't understand and grasp all this. I couldn't tell you what this will look like. I just take it what it says, for what it says. And I see this is the, like this earth is, and everything about this world is upside down. Turmoil everywhere. People live in God's world today, and they take it all for granted. We can set our clocks and say when the sun is going to come up tomorrow. And we can set our clocks and say when the sun goes down tomorrow. We have people who can predict the weather for the next week, or try to. But we have people who can do those kinds of things because you're looking at the regularity of things. We're confident of the regularity of this life. And people live in this world, and the reason why there's regularity in this world is because God is holding it in place. He's the one who set the sun, the moon, and the stars in place. He's the one who set us to go around the sun. He's the one who set the planets. He set this whole thing, and he holds it in place. And during this time, it's as if God says, okay, you don't want me to hold things in place. You don't want me to be here. I'm going to show you what it's like when I step back and just let everything go. And people are going to go wild when everything is off. When a third of the sun doesn't shine. When a third of the stars are going in the wrong direction. We're talking about distances with the stars that is phenomenal, and that for them to move so that you can see them moving on the earth, that is going to be a phenomenon. But that's what's going to happen. It's going to be like, and people are going to look and they're saying something. This is the end. And at first they're going to say this is the end just because nature has gone wild on us. But then as time goes on, they're going to say, no, this is about God. They're going to be angry with God. They're going to be knowing that this is about this God who is out there. And that's when they're going to turn all their weapons and look at the sky to deal with him when he comes. Blow him out of the sky. Protect the earth. I always think it's interesting. There's so many movies today about the world being sick or the world being attacked or aliens coming. And some handsome young man and handsome young ladies can be handsome too, I guess. But beautiful young lady and they save the world. It's like, wow, it's like, that's the hope of mankind. And it's just interesting that there's many of those kinds of movies. It used to be the movies were about, you know, the bad guy in town and the sheriff would come and they'd have a shoot him out and it's all over with. That's the whole movie. It's this, you know, good guy, bad guy. But now it's just the whole world. And this people are saving the world. The hope is always that man can save from whatever's going on. This is way too big and way too wild. So God is going to really turn everything on its head, so to speak. Notice the second. Let me read this for you as well. I know I'm reading large sections, but I think it's important to hear. Turn to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15 says, and then I saw a sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. These are the seven bowls. Seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast and over his image and over the mark and over the number on his name, and you find that out in one of these interludes. Standing on the sea of glass and having harps of God, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you. For you have your judgments have been manifested. And after these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen and having their chests girded with golden bands. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of wrath of God upon the earth. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and the foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and who worshiped the image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl in the sea, and it became blood as a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you give them blood to drink, for it is their just due. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. So you look at this judgment and you don't come and say, oh, God is a mean and awful God. These are the saints seeing all the things that are taking place and they're worshiping him. They're saying, you are a God of love and you are a God of peace and you are a God of patience and you're a God of kindness. You are also a holy God and a God of justice and a God of judgment. Verse 8, then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat. He blasphemed the names of God who had power over the plagues and did not repent and give him glory. When they say he scorched him with great heat, that may mean, it was interesting to listen to Matthew talk about this, but he said his idea was, you know, maybe 150 degrees outside. Can you imagine living in 150 degrees? I can tell you right now, the pole, if there's any ice left in whatever's taking place, that all's going to melt. But it'll be, if there's 150 degrees, who can live? Who can stand it? Scorching with the heat and with the sun. Verse 10, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and of the kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the river Euphrates, and the water was dried up so the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out of the kings of the earth and to the whole of the earth to gather them for the battle of the great day of the Lord. That's the battle of Armageddon. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garment, lest he walks naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together in the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. And then the seventh angel poured out his bowl in the air, and a loud voice from the temple of heaven, from the throne, said, it is done. Jesus cried, it is finished at the cross. Now you have the cry, it is done. The judgments of the earth are done. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Such a mighty and great earthquake as not had occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail came from heaven upon men, great hailstones about the weight of talent, 200 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague and the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. So here's this last plague. I said that, you know, these plagues bring you to the end. The earth has never seen anything like this. That's why Jesus said, it's going to be like what no one has ever seen or ever shall see. It's going to be events that take place at this tribulation time. And when I look at these seal judgments, trumpet judgments, and bowl judgments, I say, these are to the glory of our God. People oftentimes says, if God is a holy God, why doesn't he judge sinners? Oh, he will. He will in his holiness. You bring sinners into the presence of a holy God and they will be judged. And this, there's judgment day someday. It's coming. And you can look at our world today and say, we've walked away from God. We don't want God anywhere. And we're plummeting into darkness, spiritual darkness as a nation and as a world. Where are we headed? Well, there's two answers to that. You're either headed to being caught up to meet the Lord in the air at the time when he comes for his people, or you're headed for this. I say, don't be headed to this. You say, well, this is not a good sermon for little children. I said, it's a great sermon for little children. If you're a young person, if you're a child, I became a Christian when I was 8 years old. You should come to Christ. You should come to Christ. Why? Because he loves you. Because he sent Christ to die for you. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Trust in him. He will save you. And I'm not... You know, we face persecution. We may face persecution and death in this life. I'm not afraid of persecution and death. I'm not wild about it, but I'm not afraid of it. If that comes, we must embrace that. So I'm not saying we believe in being caught up to meeting the Lord just to get away from all this awfulness. But you can either be judged by God at the cross, or you can be judged by God in the tribulation if you're living when it comes. But God is, one way or another, you're going to face the judgment of God. And that judgment is only beginning in the tribulation, because those who refuse to repent, those who never repent, those who never come to God, those who never bend the knee before God and say, I believe you are the Son of God, Jesus, and I believe that you died to save me, and I receive you as my Savior. I want to know you, live you, walk with you. You never come to that point. This is just a prelude to what hell is like. What the Bible reveals about hell is worse than this, if there is such a thing. You know, you look at this and you say, it's out of the ashes of all of this that God is going to establish his kingdom. Jesus told us to pray. He told his disciples how to pray. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May your name be set apart in this world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the kingdom of God, where his name receives the right honor and glory that it should. It's set apart. Instead of being cursed and sworn and rejected and thrown out the window, it is the name of God that is honored. It receives its rightful glory. Thy name, thy kingdom, and thy will. God says, be praying about God and what he's going to do. Be praying about these judgments that are to come. Be praying that God will establish his righteous kingdom. Be praying for the lost. One of the reasons is if anything should be encouraging you to say, we need to give the gospel to people. We need to go forth with the gospel message and tell people how to be saved. Because we look at this and we say, come to Christ. Come to Christ. This is not something. You never want to stand and receive the wrath of God. Jesus Christ took the wrath of God for us on the cross. It's not that when you come to Jesus Christ, it's not that you have the opportunity to say, well, I don't want to go through this. It's Christ did it for us. He went through this for us on the cross. So I say, come to Christ. Where it says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Wonderful truth. And all who come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. So come to Christ. Well, there's more to be said. Next time we're going to look at these interludes. I just flipped it up on the screen, probably because I was waving my arms around. But those are the interludes that explain other things that are happening during this period of time. And I'll try to move through those as quickly as I have these seals and trumpets and bowls. But it's important to see the things that are taking place, because this explains why God is pouring out these 21 judgments upon the earth, because this kind of stuff is also here. And God is accomplishing his purposes. So we have a great God. We should be thankful for our Savior and the hope we have in him. But let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give. We're thankful that even though we don't really comprehend the vastness of this, we're thankful that you will establish holiness and judgment and justice and truth, and you will be glorified in this world in which we live. And Lord, we repent of the sins of this world. We repent of our sins. And we hate the awfulness of the darkness when the light of the world departs. We're thankful that Jesus is the light of the world, and he one day will shine brightly. We hope in that great day. So we ask your blessing to be upon us. We thank you that you are the living God and that no one can defeat you in accomplishing your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.